Has been a bit of a culture shock for you, I think. Yes? No? Not much.
Nice experience.
Nice. How many of you are comfortable in this environment? Comfortable?
In daytime, yes.
Nighttime, it is even better. Only some devotees feel afraid. So much, so silent and so dark, some people feel afraid. So in this Bhagavatam class, we won't have a regular class, we'll just have some discussion. Some years ago, some devotees had come from another place and they were speaking about how they felt a little afraid in the night or living here, maybe some animals, wild animals or this or that, something. And I was explaining how actually the cities are more dangerous than here. Traffic accidents, some fires and so many other thefts and crime and so many things. If you look at the statistics, number of people dying like this in this kind of place is very less compared to the cities. And just around the time when these devotees were asking this question, in the news there was a major item of a very five-star hospital in Calcutta in which there was a major fire and many people died in that. In that fire, they were trapped in the building, they could not go anywhere, and some of them tried to jump from the second floor, third floor, and they broke their legs, they died, some got burnt inside. So I was explaining how even though they're in a big city and they have a big five-star sophisticated kind of hospital and things like that, but still still there's so much risk, fire and all these things. Here also fire can happen anywhere, but actually speaking, it is less risky living here than living in the city. You step out on the street and you don't know when somebody will come and knock you down in the car, vehicle. But because we are so accustomed to the modes of goodness, or sorry, the modes of passion and ignorance, that we cannot tolerate the mode of goodness. Yes? Mode of goodness, it is actually a very nice mode to be in. But we cannot tolerate it. People from the city, if you place them in an environment where there is some quiet and peace, they cannot tolerate that peace. Because they are so used to the hustle, bustle and the noise and the crowds and all the hustle, bustle that goes in the city, they cannot tolerate that peace and quiet and serenity. It's okay for some time, for some you come, but beyond that, mind gets restless, you want that agitation, you want that movement, you want that hustle bustle, you want the crowds around you. So it goes to show that we have come so far away from the mode of goodness that we are accustomed to the modes of passion and ignorance to such a degree that we find the mode of goodness disturbing. Generally, the modes of passion and ignorance are disturbing. But for one who gets very accustomed to the mode of passion and ignorance, the mode of goodness becomes disturbing. I remember some people in Bombay who live near the railway tracks of the suburban railway. They do not get sleep in a quiet atmosphere. From childhood, they are used to sleeping near the railway tracks where there's so much noise and the suburban trains that they ply all day, all night. So when there is no noise of the train, they start get restless, they don't get sleep. It's like that. When you get accustomed to something, then you can't adjust to anything that is different. So we are so used now to the lower modes of life that that has become the normal for us. And what was earlier the normal in our forefathers' time and what is normal as per the Shastra, we are not able to adjust to that normal. And we have made a new normal for ourselves in the city where we have so much noise and even near our temple, our neighbors, sometimes they complain because there's so much sound of the devotees who come and the kirtan. So the two buses in which you came, he was honking. And I got upset with him because the neighbors get disturbed. And in India, we have this habit of simply honking. For no reason, just honking. Even here, honking. Huh? How come? How come there is no network here? Keep this a tightly held secret. You got network here?
No.
No? No. How did it ring?
No, some notification.
Okay, so everyone please switch off your mobile phones. Anyway, you don't get network here. Okay? So they're reversing the car, they have some noise that comes. So we're just unnecessarily disturbing. We create so much of pollution of noise, of sound, pollution of the air, pollution of the water, pollution of the soil, pollution of the ether. Because ether is where sound travels, according to Bhagavad Gita. Yes? Unnecessary sound pollution. So we are making life hellish in the cities. And then in Bangalore, Delhi, Bombay, Kolkata, you get caught in the traffic jams for hours together. Yes?
Yes.
And when people get so agitated because they're sitting in that car for a long time. So Srila Prabhupada, with good reason, wanted us to promote such projects also. But most devotees also are not familiar with this aspect of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, because these never get discussed, and there is no opportunity for devotees living in the cities to have any experience of this kind of life. So this is a very interesting project, because not because we expect that devotees will live like this everywhere. We know that it's not possible. They will not live like this. Without electricity, living here in the countryside, they will not be able to live. Even here, few devotees come only for a short time, they go back, then at least now I can switch on the electricity and I can switch on my mobile phone. Yes? But it is meant to be a beacon light. It is meant to be some guideline for devotees that look, for happiness you don't really need the things that you think you need. We think we need all these devices and all these comforts and all these facilities, but actually human society doesn't need it. In the purport in Srila, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada uses the words unnecessary necessities. Where is that? How come? There is no network, is it?
Yeah, yes, alarm. Yes, an alarm.
So please switch off. So please switch off all the phones. At least here we want you to have completely different experience. So you will be listening to a lot of scolding from me now. Already you have listened, or some more. So all the phones please switch off. They should not ring now.
Recording?
Huh? Recording?
Recording.
Make sure no one pom 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 some sounds. Yeah. And the times have become everything is moving so fast now. The modes of passion and ignorance have multiplied in the last few decades with all these electronic gadgets and everything coming in. So the idea is that when we come here, now we slow down a little bit, calm your mind down. Otherwise the mind is moving so fast with everything, phone call, this, that, everything. Super speed. Now just calm down, relax. Just be with nature. Nature is Krishna's creation. There are many people who like nature and environment. Okay, that is fine. But we want to go one step beyond. And we want to also create connection with Krishna. Unless you have Krishna in the center, merely being lovers of nature is not sufficient. So those people who are environmentalists, nature lovers, etc., that is all fine, that is all very good. But it is not complete. Nature is called Mother Nature. You have heard that phrase? Mother Nature. Now a family is not complete only if there is mother. Who is needed?
Father.
Father.
Father. So nature is mother, so who is father?
Krishna.
Krishna.
So if you want a complete experience, it is not sufficient to have only some natural beauty. You must have Krishna also. In one place in his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that natural beauty or the beauty of nature is only a reflection of Krishna's beauty. So when we look at the beauty of nature around us, and you will see plenty of that when we move around, It is very nice, very attractive, very calming and pleasing to the mind. But that should remind us of Krishna. Wherever you see anything beautiful, you should remember Krishna. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives us different ways to remember Him in nature. Right? Like what?
I am the taste of water.
I am the taste of water. Very nice. What is the Sanskrit for that?
Rasoham
apsukam. Rasoham. Rasoham apsukanteya. Prabhasmi shashi surya yoho. So I am the taste of the water. Prabha asmi shashi surya yoho. Prabha means I am the light. I am the light of Shashanka. Shashanka means
moon.
And Surya Yo, the sun. So I am the light of the sun and the moon. I am the taste of water. So Lord Krishna is teaching us how to realize His presence in nature around us. We all drink water. We all see the light of the sun and the moon. We experience so many things in life around us. So we should remember Krishna. So similarly, when we look at the beauty in nature around us, when we go inside, we will see. Perhaps as you came from here, you saw the rolling fields and how beautiful it is. So we should remember Krishna at that time. So it is quite popular now that there are environmentalists and nature lovers who want to go for treks, etc. But if you do that with an enjoying spirit, then you are not actually fulfilling the purpose of that. When natural beauty and serenity is combined with Krishna consciousness, then it becomes a perfect setting for human existence. Otherwise, you only have these huge, big buildings, computers, spaceships, aeroplanes, electronic gadgets, and we think that that is progress. But that is not progress. Progress means to develop in spiritual understanding. That is the human society. Simply making technological advancement and economic progress is not real progress. But we cannot understand these things when we are in the cities, in the modes of passion and ignorance. When we come here and our mind slows down, calms down a little bit, then with a cool head, we can start thinking, oh really, what is the goal of human life? So we calm the mind and it comes into mode of goodness. Then we can sit here, peacefully discuss Shastra, chant Hare Krishna, and work hard also. There in the cities, there is comfort for the body, but a very disturbed mind. Here, there is some physical activity, some discomfort for the body, but there is comfort for the mind. If you develop a taste for this kind of simple living, then automatically your mind becomes more peaceful, calm, you become more happy, even though there is some discomfort for the body in the sense that you don't have all the facilities that you get in the city. But still, you are willing to work hard, go in the field, grow your gardens, and do all these things. Sit in front of the chula with the wood rather than press some buttons, flick some switches and get everything ready. So there is physical convenience in the cities but mental inconvenience. Here in this kind of project there is physical inconvenience but mental convenience. Are you getting these points?
Yes.
Why these kind of settings are very important?
Yes.
So when people are so frustrated and distressed with their pressures and stresses of city life, so they want to go to the countryside to a resort. So they go to a resort for a break, But they will do the same thing there in the city, in the resort also. They will drink, they will eat, they will carry their alcohol bottles with them. Sometimes we have this problem here also. But we are very strict, so now people know that they cannot bring their alcohol bottles over here. This is not the normal type of resort. And there is some waterfalls ahead, so a lot of youngsters come and they come there for picnicking and they spoil the whole thing. So if you come for a natural resort just for sense gratification and you come just to get away, so if you have no Krishna consciousness, and this is what you will do. You will come here and create nuisance in this, in the peaceful areas also. Right? We had a resort that was made nearby here by the person who owns the land nearby. You're not supposed to make, because this is a sanctuary, a wildlife sanctuary, Bhimgad Wildlife Sanctuary. So you're not supposed to have such commercial endeavors. So he was doing, so people used to come here, and night time our devotees used to get disturbed with the sound of their music. They'll play loud music. We came all the way here in the jungle to get relief from all of them. And then these people came next door. And then they'll drink and create a ruckus in the night. Come for enjoyment here. Fortunately, the government, they broke it down, because you're not supposed to do such things in a wildlife sanctuary. So we were lucky. Unfortunately, they thought that our devotees had complained against them. But our devotees had not complained. So the point is that even when people want to get away from the, you know, crowd and all the noise and all the pressures of city life, they come to the rural life, countryside, but to do all these things. And sometimes some people may come away, maybe gone for 1 day, 2 days, go for some trek, and then they go back. So when we come here to this kind of setting, Srila Prabhupada's idea was that the goal of life is high thinking. You think of Krishna, you lead, and when you think of Krishna, you want to develop your love for Him, then you have to have a suitable lifestyle that will be supportive for your aspirations, for your spiritual desires. If you want to be a pure devotee, then you must have an atmosphere, you must have a lifestyle around you that will facilitate your Krishna consciousness. But in the big cities, it is so difficult. So many disturbances and distractions and temptations. Am I right or no?
Yes. Yes.
Is it very easy to practice Krishna consciousness in Bangalore? When you have devotees, it becomes easy, because you have the association around you. But even then, you all have to go to your place of work, struggle for existence, worry about the rising prices, and so many such problems. Right? So Srila Prabhupada wanted projects like this to be like a lighthouse, like a beacon light, for the world to know that, look, our ancestors lived like this and they were very happy. Nobody died because they didn't have mobile phone in the past. Right? Nobody lost their life because they did not have a computer or a television. They lived happily without it. But only now, we create what Prabhupada calls unnecessary necessities. We start thinking that these things are very necessary for us, whereas actually they are not necessary. They are simply unnecessary distractions which take our mind away from Krishna. If you ask our devotees here, they sleep early. By 8:39 they are asleep. They wake up by 3 o'clock in the morning. Then they are here doing, and by early morning they are out in the fields or doing whatever other services they have to do. They are very happy. I will give you one proposal. You can try talking to some of our Gokuldham devotees and you try to bribe them. Okay? Tell them, I will give you 10 lakh rupees, you leave and come. I will give you 50 lakh rupees and see whether they will accept your bribe or not. Because they are so happy here, so contented here. They are all very fortunate souls because they are getting an opportunity to live in such a beautiful setting and practicing Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, we should have self-sufficient farm projects where we grow our own food, we are self-sufficient in food, in water, roti, kapda, makan. And we will have our own houses like this, natural houses, and we will make our own cloth. We used to earlier have a small handloom set up here also, but then this climate is not very suitable for handloom. You need a dry climate. So maybe at some point for the summer seasons, for a few months, we can have something. But otherwise, near Bagalkot side and all that, there is a huge handloom area. Because it's very dry climate. So Srila Prabhupada said we should grow our own food, make our own houses, make our own cloth, and lead and protect cows, be with land, and be happy. And chant Hare Krishna here. You get adequate time for the goal of your life. We have created all these false definitions of success and prestige. And we think that unless we get a big job in a multinational company and we don't have that certificate to show that I am working in such and such big company and I am getting so many lakhs of rupees, then our life is useless. This is the propaganda in the modern civilization. We are programmed to think like this, that unless you have some big hi-fi kind of a job or a profession, and you're earning a lot of money, and you're staying in some nice gated community with some all facilities, what is life? This glitter, glamour, chamak, damak of the world is very, very attractive. And we all think, yes, I want this life. And then little Krishna consciousness, we're also there. So therefore such projects are a little extreme. Gokuldham, you will not find such projects even in ISKCON. We do have farm projects, but they may have some facilities and electricity here. Here we are going a little extreme. Because that is originally what Prabhupada said. He wanted us to live like this, very simple life. So if you want high thinking, you must have simple living. If you want high living, then you will get simple thinking. So because the goal of life is high thinking, we need that simplicity of life. So that doesn't mean that now you should all give up your jobs and try to come and live here. That is not possible. But wherever you are staying, try to simplify your life. Take inspiration from this project. We do not expect that everybody will go back and live like this. But what we do hope for is that when you go back, you will be inspired to lead a simpler life. What does it mean to lead a simpler life? It means to try to reduce what you think is necessary for you. Don't clutter your life with too many belongings and don't gather too many assets for yourself. Don't accumulate too many things, you have too many clothes, too many gadgets, too many this and that and facilities. Try to reduce your wants as much as you can, living in wherever, whichever place you are living in Bangalore. Keep things simple. Try to do with minimum necessities that you have. Lead a decent, comfortable life, no problem. But don't unnecessarily increase your belongings. Live simple. Your food also, keep it simple. Don't go too much into hotels and restaurants and this and that, hi-fi, party, this, that. Beda. Illa. No. Try to simplify, then you will see it will help your Krishna consciousness so much. It's very much interconnected. That is why Srila Prabhupada spoke, simple living, high thinking. Deeply connected these two things. So we'll stop here for some questions on whatever I have spoken now. General philosophical questions, there is always your regular lectures are going on, that is there. But connected to this, if you have any questions that you can ask, then what we will do is, we will take breakfast prasadam. Our prasadam hall is just behind, you must have passed through that area. But because we are so many of us, so we will take it in that gazebo structure where we were earlier. We will take our breakfast prasadam there. And then after that, it seems like the rain has stopped and we are getting some smaller vehicles to go inside. Because I believe some of you are very eager to go in.
Yes.
How many of you are very eager to go inside? Are you willing to take some difficulty?
Yes, yes. Father.
No problem.
No problem.
No problem.
You won't go back to Bangalore and say, AMV, what they made us do there. Our shoes got wet, our socks got wet, and we had to go inside in the jungle and... No?
No.
Sure?
Yes.
Okay. So yes, question.
Yes. So Maharaj, why we are, like, technology can be included here and we can make a balance so that we can focus on the priority work, like suppose food is our priority, so we can use the technology, like electricity you can use for certain sections, so that our priority can be more, other than we are doing lot of work and I see there is some kind of distraction, rather than taking advantage of technology and focused on that, what are the important aspects in that. So do you see that we can sustain this kind of thing?
Anyone would, you heard the question?
Yeah.
Good question. Anyone else would like to attempt to answer based on what I have said? I will answer, but I want to give anybody else a chance to respond to that question. Yes.
I think...
Now you are a representative of Gokuldham, you are answering. You are not living in Bangalore.
Yeah. Okay? But I am very much connected to this. I came from a background like this, so I understand this question very well. I think there is a belief today in the modern world that science, without science or without technology, life is very, very difficult to move ahead. So, when we start technology, it starts with the beginning, but unfortunately, although we say that we would like to contain it to a certain degree, practically it never happens. So that's a natural tendency of humans, that you will go for more and more comfort. And then we will get into more and more entanglement of the technology, which completely wraps you.
Correct.
And
that
when we are accepting this environment, we will be making ourselves busy and our mind will be on that work only. When we use the technology, our mind will be free and we'll be thinking for other things and which will be distracting our life, what we want to live here, Prabhuji.
Tumba chenagide. We may think that just a little technology and use just as much as we need. Then what happens with time?
Additions.
Little more.
Adding more and
more. We have done this a little more. And a little more. Ye dil mange more. And then before you know it, you have something.
More. Yeah,
everything
more.
Right?
But
you know that story
than,
of...
More than restricting externally, I think self-discipline is more important. Because if we hear only, but if we anchor, then it will be a problem. Or if we do a self-control there, that also we can able to manage the things. You know? So it is, I think the discipline is more important rather than stopping the external reasons.
Okay, how would you answer this? See, your question was, why don't we use technology in a project like this when you can use it for agriculture or other needs, and then you can save your time and do other things. The response was correctly that if you have this, once you start, then you just take more and more and more. You start using this technology more and more till such time as you will change the complete nature of the whole thing. Then the next question is, in response to that answer, well then we should have self-control. Now I would like you all to respond to that question. Yes.
We had self-control because we lived in the city.
Yes. If you actually had self-control, why is that not utilized in the city? Is it being utilized in the city? Very hard. It's easier said than done. It's easy to say we should have self-control, but when you're in the midst of all the technology, you go one step, and you lose that technology, and then Maya comes and says, just a little more. I know of some projects that actually closed down because of exactly this issue, where they initially started like this. But then in some houses, somebody said, at least we should have one electric bulb. What is the problem? And then some domestic dispute started happening. What is this? Too strict, not this, that. So it's okay. To keep peace in the house, now the bulb comes. When the bulb starts, then, we have bulb electricity. Why not have something? Then you start, one little device comes in. Then something else comes in. And another thing comes in. Yes, and before you know it, all the self-control is gone and the whole face of the thing has changed completely. You know that story that Prabhupada said one time about one guru who lived in an ashram with his disciple, and the guru told the disciple, I am going for a pilgrimage, I will come back after 1 or 2 years, and you look after this place. Who knows the story?
Carrot.
Yes, you can tell the story.
Actually, they want some daily livelihood, just keeping the cow. Actually,
start from the beginning. Whole story you have to tell. You won't get the. Yes. Yes, tell the story.
So once there was a guru, he told, he used to live with his disciple in an ashram, so he told that I'm going for a pilgrimage for 2 years, so till the time I come, take care of the ashram and the cows and the place. So the disciple said okay, and the guru left. So this disciple had his dhoti, so he used to keep it, after wash he used to leave it to dry, and then once he saw that some mice are coming and they bit his dhoti. So this continued for 2-3 days, then he got worried and he thought that let me buy a cat so that she can eat these mice and nobody will tear my dhoti. So he got a cat, and then now he needed milk to feed the cat. So he thought of getting the cow, and then when he got cow, he needed straw. So he decided to get a whole farm, and then he started to do farming. Now he needed a life partner to take care of all of this, so he decided to get married, and then he got a whole house after some time, and then he completely lost his self-control and became distracted. And then after 2 years, when the guru came back, the disciple realized what had happened, and this all started just from his dhoti.
Yes, very good. Tumba chanagi there. So it started from one little thing. By the time the guru came back, the whole ashram was something different now. There's one brahmachari now, whole ashram, children, this, that, facilities, everything, all around. So this is the reality of life. we think that we will only do this much, then we go ahead, and before you know it, the whole thing has changed. Right? Any other questions? Yes.
So, the question is around the sustainability aspect, right? So, yeah, I mean, these kind of projects I've seen around, and eventually, I mean, I heard that the word here also that there is a shortage of manpower. So, why there is a shortage in the sense, yes, we're starting, I mean, this is all, you know, well planned and all that. So how are, I mean, like, are devotees are not getting attracted to these kind of projects? I mean, why is there always a complaint about?
Because people don't want to live this kind of life. Because people are more accustomed to the facilities and conveniences of city life. Even brahmacharis, what to speak of grihasthas. So it is not that because one is a sincere devotee or a good devotee that he or she will automatically be comfortable in such a setting. Only somebody who has a taste for this kind of simple life will be able to live here. Others, whether brahmachari or grihastha, if they are too much accustomed to and attached to modern day facilities, they will not be able to live here. First of all, many devotees cannot come because of economic reasons, because the livelihood and everything they need. Of course, here also is a possibility. There is a system of economics also, but it will take time. So that is one reason why most people can't come. But even brahmacharis, many cannot survive here because they need their mobile phone, they need their some facility. They're not used to this kind of life. They've been raised in the city, or even if they have been born and raised in the village, they are attracted to city life. So they say, well, I'm doing Krishna consciousness in the city, so what is the problem? I'm going there and doing Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, it's okay. So if it is not easy to find devotees who are willing to live this kind of simple life, but just to make things popular, we cannot dilute it. Even if there are few people living here, the speed of the progress may be slow, but it is better to maintain the purity of the project and go slow rather than have that story that we just heard, rather than have something like this. Create all sorts of facilities and before you know it, you have the city in the jungle. So you'll have everything. So we don't want to create city living in the jungle with all the facilities, air conditioning, this, that, everything coming here. Because once you start compromising, then it just goes down a slippery slope. So even when we do make compromises here, it is very calculated, very deliberate. And these are small compromises which are reversible in nature. Like that. Yes.
One question. We are talking about global warming. We are talking about we need to reduce the temperature. So everyone talks about sustainability. But the sustainability, what they talk is through technology. The sustainability, what we are talking here is away from the technology.
Away from modern technology. We use technology, but as much technology as is traditionally that was there. So we are not opposed to technology, but we are opposed to modern technology the way it is. But our traditional forms of technology is all right. There are ways of water lifting, there are ways of, we have a simple thing, that's also a form of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Even weaving, it's a form of technology, hand weaving. And handloom, etc. But the modern technology is problematic. Although outside of this project, we in our city temples, we are using modern technology, invoking the principle of Yukta Vairagya. because it can be used in Krishna's service, we are using, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, for propagating Krishna consciousness, we are using technology, printing press and computer and so many things. But this kind of project also needs to be there to show what real sustainability is. Right?
So they say truly that this solar technology, right, also has a lot of harmful things used to build the solar.
Yes,
so it's not
truly
eco-friendly.
Yeah. It is not. Because you make solar panels. And
even the Tesla car, they say, right? The Tesla car has a lot of ecological burden.
Yes.
So they say it's solar or like, you know, electric, but they violate a lot of principles.
Yes,
the solar panels themselves are not eco-friendly. What has gone behind making those panels? So we are using solar panels in a very careful way just for water, because without water we cannot survive. And we have regenerated some springs. But to bring the water from that spring up, so we didn't want to use at least diesel and petrol and those pumps. So till we settle down and have some more natural alternatives, or water that is at a higher level that can come down, we have made some deliberate compromise with solar panels for the water lifting purpose, which are necessary just for survival. But even that is not properly eco-friendly.
Prabhuji, this is Maharaj, this is one of the very big initiative, no doubt. It is an eye-opener for all of us also, because we stayed in the modern world, and when we interact with the other Prabhujis and the kind of insights we are getting, it's mind-blowing. We also wanted to understand that, I know it's very tough, it is not that easy, it is what we say, and in reality it is very tough. What do you suggest, what should we do as a Prabhus? What is our, what can we contribute into this so that it can be become much, much better, and it will be a awareness campaign kind of that, so that more and more people can come and contribute? What do you suggest that, how we can contribute into that?
Contribute into even this project, or
this kind of project, so that awareness is there and people are more understand the importance of nature. And I know it's very tough to sustain here the way it is going, and very few handful people can come and stay here, as you said correctly. But as a community, we all should also contribute. What are the few steps we should take, which can also help us? We feel proud to be here and contributed. Though we may not be staying here for long, but
I think the real thing you can do is, if you go back inspired, if you go back carrying with you the principle of simple living, high thinking, and try to implement it in your life wherever you are, Bangalore or America or Delhi or anywhere, if you try to question, why do I need so many things in my life? Let me simplify my life. Let me not get attracted by the glitter and glamour of the world. All the shopping malls and the chamak tamak, everything shiny, shiny, all big, big thing. Let me not get attracted by all this. Let me not get deceived by all this false propaganda of the modern world. If you go back at least with this inspiration and try to lead a simpler life, that will be a major part of the goal of this project achieved. If you go back with this inspiration and you spread this message of simple living, high thinking everywhere around you. Second, you can help projects like this in various other ways, whichever way, like you are coming now and you are looking at things, now you will go back and tell, others will come. So you can help in whatever way you like. So now, for example, we have to, there has to be, every society needs some form of economics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Without economics, you cannot survive. Now you have jobs, business, that's how the society is functioning. So how will a project like Gokul Dham, what will be its economics? This is a question which we have discussed and discussed over years and years. We have explored Prabhupada's teachings, we have done a lot of other research. So obviously the foundation of our economics is growing our own food. And growing whatever it is that we need, being self-sufficient. So the foundation is self-sufficiency. So when you grow your own food, you don't have to buy from outside anything. And you get pure food, grown by devotees, best type of food that you can get. That is the first and most important part of our economics. Whatever you need to survive here, in terms of your food, in terms of water, in terms of clothing, grow over here, make it here. But that also is not going to be completely enough. So we need, for example, as devotees, still our devotees will want to go for yatra to Vrindavan or Mayapur. Now you can't go to the railway station and give them our rice and say, look, we are growing rice. You take this rice and give me railway ticket. Cash is required. Similarly, now suppose some devotee falls sick and he has to be admitted to a hospital. We can't go to the hospital and say that, you know, please take our vegetables and now you give us treatment free in exchange. They are going to need money. If our grihasthas come to live here, their children grow up tomorrow and the children say, I don't want to live like y'all. I want to go outside in the world. Or for the education, they want to go for higher education. Then our grihasthas will also need money. So even while living simply, some necessity of money is there. So we have the system, apart from our self-sufficiency of food, growing our own things, we also will be having agro-based cottage industries. Like honey, we all, our devotees are working on that now. Honey, we are growing ragi and processing our food products and we'll be making things there. So that our grihasthas who come here, especially from the village, they live on these cottage industries. So we have already started in a small way with dhoop and so on. So all of you living in the cities, you can also help in marketing that, and so that these cottage industries will survive. This was also Mahatma Gandhi's idea and vision. Prabhupada agreed with this aspect of Mahatma Gandhi's teachings, not his political and religious views. But this aspect, as far as village organization is concerned, he praised Mahatma Gandhi's ideas. Prabhupada didn't agree with other things of Mahatma Gandhi. But with this thing, he agreed. So you all can participate in that, in those endeavors, when it comes up. Now, Adiras Prabhu is here. Adiras Prabhu, oh. He is from a Gujarati background, so business is in his blood. So we have to restrain him sometimes. So he is our pujari. So he is most happy when he finds somebody to sell this to. We can see when he is very cheerful, then we know you have sold some honey today. So we grow our, we make our honey. We have made these dhoops from the villages out here. So we all want, you all can also take in this little way, you all can do. And in Bangalore, other places, you all can promote. We already have some devotees who are doing it. And then we can see. So these are some of the ways in which you can. But most importantly, bring the principles of simple living, high thinking into your life. That is what Gokul Dham is meant for. These things are okay, important, but you are helping, but the real transformation in your life is what this project seeks from you. Okay? Yes. What is the time, by the way?
9.
Are you, you must be all hungry, no? Is breakfast ready? Where shall we take it? Gazebo? And hand washing and everything, arrangement is there? Okay. So what we'll do is, because you are hungry, we will take breakfast now. Okay? One last question and then we'll see when to continue later. Then we will take you inside. It stopped raining, so let's take advantage of that and go inside. Yes.
Well, it's more direct question. I'm not saying me, but if I want to associate with this project directly, is there any way? Example is coming and living here for some months, for example.
Yeah, you are welcome. Provided you are familiar with how the devotees live here and you are able to live this kind of life. See, if you are willing to live like them, then you are welcome. So for example, for bathing, they don't use commercial soap. They use shikakai. We have shikakai trees here. So from the shikakai, then they make the powder. And that powder is made available in the bathrooms. So you put water and then you rub that on your skin. It's very good shikakai. For washing clothes and other things, they use Rita, soap nut. And they wash the clothes like that. We don't use commercial toothpaste. We use dantamanjan made by various ways, cow dung and ash and salt and other things, herbs. And we use that. It's quite effective, very nice. So if you're willing to live like that, you're welcome.
What do they do for mosquitoes and all that?
Mosquitoes? There aren't that many mosquitoes nowadays, right?
I mean, at least not inside.
The mosquitoes also become in mode of goodness here. So.
In cities, you get to see a lot of very dirty. It's very dirty in the cities, maybe.
Yeah, cities are dirty.
It's clean.
Still, sometimes there are mosquitoes here, but it's not that much. And also, briefly, I don't know when we will get the time. We have another project that is nearby, 10 kilometers from here. On the way, we passed it when we came from there. We have a medical project, and I saw Sparsh Prabhu is here. Can stand? Sparsh? He's a... You can just see? Yes. Sparsh is originally from Agra. But he was doing his medical studies. Please sit. He was doing his medical studies here, MBBS, that is where he became a devotee. Our devotee met our devotees, and then after that he has done his post-graduation also in family medicine. He did not go for radiology or this or that. He went for family medicine, and even though he comes from a very wealthy family and his family is very eager to set up hospitals for him in Agra and those areas, but he wanted to work in the villages. He said, I'm not interested in commercial hospitals and all this making lakhs and lakhs of rupees as a doctor. I want to serve people in the villages and also integrate that with spreading Krishna consciousness and Krishna conscious culture. So he is now shifted. He has come back to Belgaum after his post-graduation and he has started a clinic here nearby. And he has got married recently to another girl who also became a devotee here in the medical college. She has passed her MS in ophthalmology as eye specialist. She is doing her rural posting compulsory, which is there. In a few months she'll be free and she will join him. And we have other doctors who are in line to join bit by bit. So they are working towards a project where there will be integrated transformation of the society. They will be not only dealing with the health problems of the villagers who come in this whole area, but they will be teaching them how to live a healthy life. They'll be conducting lectures, they'll be going to their homes for personal care. They will teach them Krishna consciousness also. They'll teach them good habits, proper culture. So they have that kind of a vision he has. He's very inspired by that. And he has done what very few doctors are willing to do now. Our Rigesh Prabhu is familiar with doctors from the city. Do you find many doctors like this?
Absolutely.
Hardly. Yes? So he has given up what could be have been a very flourishing commercial practice, his own hospital, but he has come to the village and he lives here. And we have what is called a Dakshina model. And it won't work in your hospital, Rigesh, in Bangalore, because in the cities they will exploit you, they will take advantage. But here we have a Dakshina model where the patients can give if they want, they do. If they don't want, they don't give. Okay, so they come and there is a box outside, whatever they want to give, they give as a Dakshina.
There are a few doctors in Bangalore who are doing that, Maharaj. Achha. I personally know them.
Okay, okay.
There is a homeopath and then there is a pediatrician also who
does. Okay, okay. So, in this model, the villagers come and they give whatever amount they want to give as a Dakshina. But then, for the medicines, if it is certain types of medicines, then they have to buy it. But other types of generic medicines, if it is available, then that also is included in the Dakshina. But certain types of medicines he has to charge. But not for the consultation. Because otherwise he has to pay from his own pocket. How is he going to survive as a grihastha?
And is it allopathic medicine, Maharaj? Or what kind of medication it is? Is it allopathic?
It is
or
allopathic.
Ayurvedic?
It is allopathic, but they're also now slowly, and very, very limited way they do allopathic,
mm-hmm.
but gradually they want to have integrated medicine. They are already doing it,
mm-hmm.
with some bit of natural medicines, Ayurveda,
mm-hmm.
integrating that with allopathy,
mm-hmm.
doing it. So at some point, I called him specially here today, so you know that there are such activities going on, such devotees are there also. And especially if you have any connections with other doctors or others, those who may not try to help, you know, religious projects, but those who will help in this kind of project, where there's medical service to the villagers, if you know people who can help, then you can get in touch directly, you can take his contact number and be in touch with him, and if there's any help you can give for that. So Gokuldham, that medical project there, and eventually we will have a Gurukul and Goshala there. All these we want to see as one integrated project. So later on you can, what I suggest, Sparsh, you can give your contact details, and anybody who's interested. And if from your places you have people who don't give for spiritual or religious projects, but if you tell them that we are helping medical, you know, poor people in the villages with medical help, they're inclined to help. Even doctors, some of them may be willing to help. So we eventually have to see that a good team of doctors comes and we have some facility for their livelihood. They are making an enormous sacrifice by leaving their flourishing practices there and coming here at an early stage of their life. It is not that they have worked for 25 years and gathered enough savings and now they can come and live here. They are coming in the youth over here because the best years of their life they want to give for this kind of service. So if you all know of such people who will kind of help such projects, then please do get in touch with Dr. Sparsh and then help in that way. Okay? And I would have liked him to also give a little presentation, but now we don't have the time. We have to go for breakfast. Sparsh, you'll be around for how much time now?
For 1 hour.
1 hour?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of corporates are into CSR activities.
Yeah, yeah. We have to make a separate trust for that, but CSR you can start accepting after 3 years, isn't it?
From next year.
Huh?
From next year.
From next year you will be able to accept CSR funds. Yeah. So you can give a good presentation. We had called all the leading doctors from Belgaum, and he had given a nice presentation to them in the temple, and they were all really impressed, because he said, we don't find doctors like this nowadays. So his wife is also joining and some others will also participate. Okay. So as we go inside, you'll hear from our other Gokuldham devotees like Rajeshwar Prabhu and who else is here? Hari Ram Prabhu, Anjana Anandam, we're all inside, so we'll hear from them. So let us now go for prasadam And we have a rule here in Gokul Dham that during prasadam we don't talk. Okay? Complete silence. Even if you volunteer for serving, you just show the item you want to serve rather than speaking. If you have dal, you're serving dal, you don't need to say dal, dal. They are seeing that there is dal. So, you just need the dal, and if they want, they will say yes. Aitu? Agreed? Okay. And for those of you who can't sit on the floor, we have that katta, we have that seat there.
Yeah.
You can sit on the seat and take your prasadam. That is not normally our prasadam area. The prasadam area is there, but because we are large in number, we are going there. Okay?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Come. And by the way, I want to tell you, Dr. Sparsh is the gold medalist in his post-graduation.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.